I'm reading another same book for the third time. It's called Defining Moments by Bill Johnson. I recommend it to you because he's not promoting anything but God's generals from past generations and Heidi Baker and some of the people in today's generation that are doing amazing things for God. If you're satisfied with just sitting in a pew, you're in trouble.
That's right.
If you are satisfied with just thinking about what's coming instead of what is, you got problems. I mean spiritual problems. There are a lot of people so worried about the end times, that's all they talk about. It's time to talk about now. It's time to talk about what God wants to do today. God has never told us to define the kingdom of God. He told us to demonstrate it.
Yes.
And there's a lot of people just hanging out waiting for their prophecy or their thought to come true. And I'm going to tell you something. Whether you want to believe it or not, God knows more about end times than you do. God wants to encounter us today. God wants us to focus on Him because the Bible tells us in Him we live and we move and we have our being. All the other stuff is unnecessary. I have changed my philosophy so much about Christianity and about a relationship with Jesus. Simply because a lot of stuff we're preaching and talking about don't matter. You cannot go beyond grace. You cannot go beyond love. You can't go beyond compassion. You can't go beyond the fact that God so loved the world that He died for us. How do you go deeper than that? People want to go deeper than that and they become foolish. And so unless you have a passion to have an encounter with God, you're missing everything that God wants to do in our time. What happened to Pastor? He's been spending time with God. And we come to a place where the realization of what we're missing becomes so large that we say, I'm going to spend time with the Lord so He can download in me the things that He wants us to do and have in an encounter. When we receive Jesus, how many have? How many of you have really received Jesus? How many are really living for Jesus? How many used to? How many can look at me and say, 1944, I accepted Christ, and from that time on, nothing has happened? Yeah, I am. When you receive Jesus, the Bible says the light came in you. Jesus is light. Then He said, now you are the light. Anybody got that?
Yes.
You're the light. You are the light of the world. You are glowing. You are shining. Not to define something, but to demonstrate Jesus. The Bible also says, if anyone thirsts, let him come unto me, for out of his being will flow rivers of living water. And this he spoke of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Okay, look at me. You're supposed to be a well of water. Amen?
Amen.
You're supposed to be flowing. We're not a dam. We're not a pump. We're a river of living water, watering the people that need to come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Your encounter with God is dependent on you being hungry. Your encounter with God is dependent on you striving to come into His place as He leads you more than anything else in your life.
Yes, amen.
You say, what are you talking about? Everything else you do are byproducts of your relationship with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You see that? How many of you ever asked God to bless you? Not a soul. Yeah. The Bible says He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. How many of us are learning to walk in that blessing? How many of us are allowing the Holy Spirit to radically change our views that we've held on to for years that may have nothing to do with God or the Bible? Okay. How many of you, 20 questions. I'm going to get to what I'm going. How many of you can believe God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that will change the values and the purpose of the Church of Jesus Christ?
Yes, amen.
Or how many of us are just satisfied to have a building to come to? I read something from Bill this morning, and it goes like this. That there's a transformation that's coming because there was a declaration in heaven that the kingdoms of the earth are becoming the kingdoms of God in Revelation 12 or 11. That the kingdoms of the earth, the Bible says the seventh seal sounds, there's a voice in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this earth have become the kingdoms of God. So there's a transformation that's going to take place whether or not we agree with it or not. There's going to be a change. There's going to be radical changes happening in this world where countries who have been Muslim, who have been this, who have been that, are suddenly going to have a recognition of Jesus Christ, and the nation of China is going to be one of the leaders because people are saying that China will be the most Christian nation in the world. Can you believe that? Or we say, oh no, America's falling. It doesn't mean America's falling. Because most of the Christians in America has already given up on her. And so we're in a place right now. We're in a place right now where we quit packing and ready to leave, and we start building and planting and working to stay. Can I tell you something? God's not going to bail you out. God's going to work through His people as long as He can before He takes us out of here, because we have a plan and a purpose designed by God to rule in this world.
Amen.
The Bible says we're a kingdom of priests. But many people in the body of Christ look at it defeated, overrun. How many of you think God's afraid of ISIS? Huh? 30,000 people in ISIS, tearing up the world. America don't know what to do. It's not a big decision. I know what to do. And so for each one of us, look at me. God has placed you where you are and what you're doing for a time like this.
Amen.
How many can believe that?
Yes, sir.
God did not design your life to come to the last chapter of the book and then have it fall apart. God designed your life that every breath you take, in Him we live and move and have our being, is designed for Him to come on board with where He's leading you and what He's calling you to do. And we are fulfilling the call of God every moment of every day. Even though you may have your brain focused on something else, your spirit is crying out for more of God. But you know what happens? We get this sidetracked. We lose focus. And the call today is come back. Get focused. Get focused on the now. Get focused on what God wants to do in your life today. Paul says, I didn't come to you with enticing words of men's wisdom. In other words, Paul's saying, I didn't come to you with some kind of agenda. I'm not coming to you with an agenda. I'm coming to you because I want to see the same demonstration of spirit that happened in Paul's life, in your life, in my life. Caring about knowing that Jesus Christ is greater than all the issues you're facing.
Amen.
And a God encounter radically changes us so we can radically change the world. So Paul says, I didn't come with you to try to convince you of something. You ever convince somebody to be a Christian against their will? How long did it last? Did you ever try to scare the bejeebers out of somebody with hell? Wages of sin is death. Have you been paid lately? Have you ever come to a place where all the man's efforts seems futile, and you get to the bottom line where all you have left is Christ? That's where God wants to bring us to.
Amen.
Where Jesus Christ is standing tall and strong in our lives, and we're not turning back. But there's a challenge here. There's a challenge here that I want to leave you with. And I'm not upset about nothing. I'm hungry for more. And until we get that hunger for God, we will not reach the place that God wants to take us to be part of the world changers that He's calling forth. And He's calling forth world changers. He's calling forth people that will bring heaven to earth. He's calling forth people who aren't going to worry about if a guy's a Muslim and they're not worried about political correctness, they're not worried about anything. They're concerned about telling people what the Word of God says. They're going to walk it out and let them not like me. You say, oh man, we got to love. I didn't say I wouldn't love them. It's nice if everybody loves you, but it's not necessary. Because we have a purpose. We have a design. And God is saying, hey, wait a minute. I've making you world changers. I'm making you people that's going to transform earth into what heaven looks like. I'm going to change things through you. But first of all, you have to have an encounter with me where I can change you, because I'm taking you and I'm going to transform this world, this community, this area through the power of my Holy Spirit that has transformed you, and you're going to have a different mindset. The thing God has to change is how we look at things and how we see things, and He wants to transform it so we see it like He does. Every one of you see things differently. But we see things different. What, you know what God wants to do? God understands that you have different ministries, okay? And He can handle that. What God wants to do is for us to have the same vision of Him. He wants us to see Him, not distorted. Not through some doctrine, not through some religious group, not through some other preacher. He wants us to see Him as He is. Like Isaiah, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His glory filled the temple. He wants us to see a picture of the glorified God on His throne, looking at America and the world and saying, don't faint now, there's hope. There's hope. And as that happens, the reality of the kingdom of God begins to play out. Because most of the body of Christ is hoping that things change, and it's not expectation, it's just hoping. And God is saying, I'm going beyond hope. We reach a place today. Today. Where we start asking God to wash our eyes with eye salve. To anoint us with the Holy Spirit. So we begin to see people as God sees people. We begin to see His plan as He has it planned out. Not what we believe, not what we designed, not that we've made ourselves accept. And we begin to look at things through the heart and the mind of Jesus Christ, who died for this world and gave everything He had so that we could live today in hope. But for that to happen, we need, every one of us need an encounter with God that absolutely radically changes our hearts and our minds to be like His. I don't want you thinking like me. Shock. I don't want you thinking like me. I don't even care if you believe the same things I believe. But we all need to believe what God believes.
Amen.
And I want to proclaim to you what God is saying, not what Dwight is saying. I want to close with two things. And the first one may be an absolute radical shock to you, because when I learned it, it was a shock to me. Do you realize God is not on your side? Some of you shake your head. Some of you say, whoa, what in the world was he drinking this morning? Turn to me to the book of Joshua. Let me lay a little groundwork. Joshua chapter 1, God comes to Joshua and says, Moses, my servant, is dead. If you were the guy that's going to replace the guy that was leading 6 million Jews, you'd probably understand Moses was dead. It might not be the message you'd want to hear. So God tells Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now arise. And every place your feet go, I'm going to give you. So now, they're getting ready to go into Jericho. How many ever heard of Jericho? How many ever sung about Jericho? Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. Okay, here we go. Enough. I don't know what fit the battle meant. I thought he fought the battle, but... Night before they go, chapter 5, verse number 13. Joshua chapter 5, verse number 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? And he said, no. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped him and said, what does my Lord say to his servant? And the commander of the Lord's army said, Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. If you're going to go fight Jericho by marching around it, you kind of would think God would be on your side. At least you'd want him to be. And so Joshua says, are you for us or are you for our adversaries? Now keep in mind, I believe he's talking to Jesus Christ. You can believe whoever you want. But you usually don't fall down and worship an angel. We okay? And the warrior God responds, no, I'm not on your side, and I'm not on your adversary's side. He's on God's side. I've heard people after people after people, in fact, as I was in basically a court case, or somebody said, well, I know God's on my side, so I'm going to win. Well, they lost. I never did hear him say God wasn't on my side. The key to your life is not trying to get God on your side, but you being on his side.
Amen.
Everything happens that God can possibly do as we're walking through this world and we begin focusing on Him and realizing, God, I'm walking with You. You're leading me. Because thinking that we're on, that God's on our side, causes us to make decisions that aren't godly.
That's right.
And so we come to a place in this walk, in this God encounter, where whatever we do, we are joining with God, not expecting Him to join with me. We okay? I cannot earn by doing, by loving, by being compassionate, by giving. I cannot earn God being on my side. But He holds out His hand and says, come and walk with me. And when we learn that, we begin to see things differently. Amen? I want us to be on God's side. I want you to be on God's side. I want to be on God's side. I want my puppy on God's side.
Amen.
And sometimes Fluffy has better sense than I do. And he's not a mangy mutt either. I won't tell you who says that. But I want to show you one more thing. How many's ever been fighting the devil? Why?
Amen.
Why do we waste time and energy?
Right.
You say, what are you talking about? Go to 2 Chronicles 20. How many of you have read Ephesians 6? How many have ever heard the verse, resist the devil and he'll what?
Flee.
He'll chew you up. Huh? I'm not singing happy birthday either. That's how we think the devil is. Do you ever give credit to the devil? You say, but I went through a bad time. But you went through it. Right?
Yes, sir.
Anybody here been through a bad time? It seemed like I read someplace, put on the whole armor of God that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. Put on the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness. Have your loins girded about with truth. Have your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and shield of faith, which will quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. And having done all to stand, chase the devil. Doesn't say chase the devil, does it? You're not a puppy chasing a car. If you caught the devil, what would you do with him? You know, I've often wondered when Fluffy takes after a car, I wonder, you catch that car, what are you going to do with it? So we're chasing the devil full out, and he stops and turns around and looks at us. What are you going to do with him, Glenn? Israel, under King Jehoshaphat, was being attacked. They had all kinds of armies. You can read Mount Seir and Ammon, and all the countries were coming together to attack them. No, you're the general. What are you going to do? You have two things you can do. You only got two things you can do. You can either go out there and surrender, or you can get your armies together and pretend like you're going to fight them. Because in yourself, you have nothing. But the Holy Spirit comes upon Azazel, And Azazel prophesies, you do not have to fight in this battle. I want you to go out there. I want you to position yourselves. And I want Judah to sing praises to the Lord. And I want you to stand. For the battle is not yours, but the battle is the Lord's. And I've been stupid. And I've done things wrong. And I fought battles that I can't win. But the Lord can. And when we have God encounters, we start understanding the strength that he has and how feeble Satan is compared to God. Some of you have been battling things your whole life. And it's battle after battle after battle because you're trying to think your way through it. And I'm going to tell you something. You cannot counsel a demon. Hello. You can't counsel a demon. They don't take counseling very well. You can sit down with your best book on counseling and start talking to them. It doesn't work. There's only one book that works, and that's the book where Jesus is in it. Now, I want to tell you something. I believe this, and you may say, oh, Pastor, you're nuts. I believe there's a zone around you Satan can't break through. You say, what are you talking about? Remember Job? He couldn't kill him. Right here. Read 2 Chronicles 20. When they stood and praised, God sent such a mass confusion into the camp of the enemy that they killed themselves. Stand your ground. Stand against the lies, the deception, the temptations of the devil, and don't allow him in your zone. Because he wants to get in there with the chatterbox, and once he's there, anybody know how hard it is to get rid of him? And he'll talk, and he'll talk, and he'll talk, and he'll talk until you start almost believing what he's telling you. And what does he want to do? He wants to bring you in fear. He wants to bring you in bondage. He wants to bring you to a place where you don't trust God. He wants to bring you to a place where you don't trust the Word. When he wants to bring you to a place where the enemy is so big and your God is so little. And we buy into it. I bought into it. And we say, well, I'm just human. Well, I was just stupid. And prayerfully, stupidity's not too contagious. Don't buy into it. Protect your zone. That's your safe area. And God is in that safe area with you. Don't let the devil in it. Don't let him sow thoughts that's going to bring you down. Don't let him lie to you. Don't let him discuss things with you that you have no reason to listen to him about when God is telling you that you are his child and you are valuable and you are special and he honors you. Shut off the chatterbox. Look at me. don't put on Facebook that the devil's beating me up and the devil's doing this and I'm having that, because you're opening the door for him too. So welcome. So welcome, Matt. We okay?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Put things on there. God is my strength and my fortress, my strong tower. God is helping me through. God make me an overcomer. I'm not a victim. I'm a victor. I am a child of God, and Satan has no control. Can we do that? I believe it. That's why I try to write something most days on Facebook, just to try to let people see some encouragement. Because I understand when you reach a certain place of depression and frustration and anxiety that we can't trust our thoughts, but we can trust God.
Amen.
We can trust God. Hallelujah, folks. It's wonderful. Look at that baby. She trusts mommy. Can you trust God as much as she trusts her mommy? Good start. Therefore, let's not focus down the road too far. Let's start focusing on the here and now and what God wants to do in the next few months. Let's trust God for an outpouring of the Spirit that transforms this church. Let's trust God for an outpouring of His Spirit that may start in Washington, D.C., or may start in Sioux Falls, or may start in Sisseton, that transforms, that the kingdoms of the world become the kingdoms of God.
Amen.
Hang on to that verse. Let's realize that we come in the demonstration of the power and Spirit. We're not defining the kingdom. We're demonstrating the kingdom.
Amen.
It's a great time. It's a great time. Please, don't walk out of here and forget everything. Walk out of here, take 1 point or 2 points or 10 points or all 40 minutes worth and live it. Because God is the one living it through you. And no matter what the devil has told you, you are loved beyond anything you can imagine.
That's right, amen.
And you're accepted and you're honored by God and you're honored by this body of believers. And we're glad you come here. You are loved and appreciated beyond anything you can imagine. And I don't care what you say about Pastor when you walk out. He's still a good guy. We love you. You have a plan and a purpose and a destiny from God. Let's fulfill it.
Amen.
Through the Holy Spirit.
Amen.